You may need one, you may not. As a food service operator in a leadership role, this may be very important to you. Of course, you may not need it. What am I talking about? The Food Safety Manager Certification. That is the focus topic for today. Welcome to the Good Food, Safe Food Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Good Food, Safe Food Podcast. This is our first episode, so we are all excited here. It is one of the opportunities for us to kind of introduce and start off this conversation around food safety and how it works for the actual food service operations. We call this the Good Food, Safe Food Podcast. The tagline is Real Food Safety Talk for the Real World. This is our number one episode, so we're going to make all the mistakes here and have some fun with it, and it'll be out in the world, and then we will see where this goes and learn from the feedback from you all. So we're always welcome and open to feedback and thought processes and topics or questions or whatever. We've got a lot of plans in the future. My name is Matt Licklider. I'm your host for this podcast. We'll have other hosts as well involved in the future, and it is an opportunity for us to start off by talking about one of the topics that we get a lot of questions around, which is this idea of the Food Safety Manager Certification that is predominantly becoming one of the hottest topics in the United States and other parts of the world as well. And it's one of those things where we have a lot of interpretations and understanding that has to go in behind the test and why do they exist and how to prepare and what happens in the test and things along those lines. So I'm going to start this whole series off by hitting on the topic of the Food Safety Manager Certification. We're going to break these podcasts into short, when I say short, about 15 to 20 minutes. The idea here is that to give you a taste of what we're doing and talk through one little small section of it, and then give you time to get down to your day and then come back later and either listen to the next podcast in the series or the next one that just dropped or wherever you want to go and pick up the topics later. So we're not going to belabor a topic and talk for 45, 50 minutes, as we all could in food safety world. We are going to try to keep this pretty tight. So let's dig into our first topic series. And like I said, we'll break this into a couple of different segments here, but we'll talk about the Food Safety Manager Certification. And what does this mean and what is this all about? So years and years and years ago, we had the FDA, which is the driver of food safety in the United States, decided and noticed that training was really important. And so they instituted recommendations to all the states and to the processes that required there to be a food safety manager trained individual working for the facility. And in some cases, they've recommended that it be there 24/7 if the operation is 24/7. As whenever they're operating hours, they have a food safety manager who's floating around. And I can tell you that that training has been developed over the decades as it's been in place for now. And we've seen an evolution of this conversation to the point that in many states in the United States, and I believe there's other provinces in Canada and other parts of the world, where they do require by the local regulatory, by the health department or whatever that is for your area, they do require that you have some kind of formal certification training. And then there are parts of the United States and other parts of the world that do not have the requirement. So one of the first things people always ask me is, well, do I have a requirement to go get this class or and training, or can I skip it? And so we start with this conversation around, should you have to get this or not? So it depends. You may have a local jurisdiction, a local health department that requires it. And in that case, you are required to go get it as a certain level of leadership in your organization. Now, when I say leadership, I mean, in the food service industry, these titles can range from supervisor all the way up to general manager, from kitchen manager and sous chef, all the way up to operations leads, purchasing individuals. Those are the kind of ranges that we have for titles that could fall into these categories of leadership. So some health departments have a requirement that at least one manager or person in charge, as the food safety term goes, is food safety manager certified, meaning that they have gone through at least the test and passed the test to show that they have a general knowledge of food safety for their operations and represent the food safety for that operation. And so that's what this is kind of stemming from. Now, some states require that all management levels have a certain expectation of that. Some states only require, you know, for instance, salaried managers or one or two managers. And in some states, it's required to have every single time your doors are open to the public, you have to have at least one certified food safety manager, whatever that certification looks like for your organization, on duty. And that certification may be asked for by any inspectors who come through to do whether a routine inspection, which we will get into later, or whether doing a investigation or a special inspection. And we'll get into those later as well. So the Good Food, Safe Food podcast recommends that you take a look at your organization structure and then talk with your local health department, talk to your local regulatory, whoever that is, and find out what you are expected to do from that perspective. Because if they say you have to do it, you have to do it. Now, what about those who are in a organization where they are not required to per the local jurisdiction, or their local jurisdiction doesn't have any requirements? Which there are some of the states that are in that process where they don't require anything. If that's the case, then you have to decide if this is for you or not. Now, some organizations, for instance, some businesses require it of certain levels of leadership. And in that case, even if your state and local doesn't require it, your company does. So you get the certification. And hopefully they can help provide that or pay for that or whatever they're requiring for it. Then there are those who just don't have a requirement from the organization. And then they don't have a requirement from the local regulatory, from the health department. So then you have to decide, okay, do I really want to go do this or not? And, you know, if you're going to talk to me, we're going to talk about your operation. We're going to talk about what the food safety looks like for your operation. And I'm going to probably, 9 times out of 10, recommend that you get the certification when you have the right opportunity to and the finances align. And the reason why I say that is because general food safety knowledge is one of the strengths of a good, strong leader who shows care for his consumers, for his customers, and who shows that they have the backbone and integrity to go through the processes of making sure we've got a good foundation of food safety in your facility, even if it's not required. And having that certification really does help build your knowledge and build your strengths around food safety. So decide, first of all, if you have to do it based on your organization or local health department, whatever is the strongest. And then, of course, if you don't have to, decide if you want to. And then you can decide which way to go. Now, the next phase of this conversation, of course, is what are my options when it comes down to doing this session, doing this class, doing this training, doing this test? And that's the certification process. What are my options? Well, in the United States, there are several recognized organizations that do teach and conduct these tests and the training that goes with. ServSafe is probably the most recognized name. The National Restaurant Association, ServSafe organization, is a nonprofit, and they are an organization that conducts and teaches food safety for manager level. They also have other programs as well. We'll talk about those later. But ServSafe is one of the biggest organizations out there. So not endorsing ServSafe, worked with them for years, like the organization, but you know, not endorsing them specifically, just giving you kind of a name to think about. They have the option generally of taking classes either in person or online. And then of course you can take the test, which we'll talk about how the test works here in a later podcast, but the tests are generally a part of that process with ServSafe. Now, you also have other organizations like State Food Safety, which is primarily an online training platform. National Registry is another organization, Premier, and there are other national and international certifications for the regular food service operator to go take a look at if they want to go after this certification process. And so it's really up to you to decide what one fits your needs the best. And then, of course, some of it is cost, some of it is training, some of it is time. I get that. And some of it might just come down to, you know, finding what's a little good and local in your area. and then taking that option. Now, there are advantages, pluses, and minuses to each one of these organizations. SurfSafe is a national program, as is State Food Safety. National Registry is also that ballpark as well. So it's really up to you to decide how you want to pick your organization that you're going to work with. In some cases, it might be picked for you because the local jurisdiction might only recognize one or two or whatever those are. Speaking of that, local regulations may actually have their own training classes available to you as well. And they might even have that they want you to go through their local regulation process. And so do check into that as well when you're talking with the regulatory, with the health departments on if they have a specific organization that they only recognize or specific organizations that they only recognize, just so that you're not caught off guard as you're having this conversation. So you will go through the testing process. Like I mentioned earlier, there's usually a training class involved in that. In some cases, it's kind of your classic one-day commitment where you go and you sit for a number of hours and you talk about food safety and you talk through the training processes and then you sit down and take the test at the end. And that's kind of the classic way of looking at food safety classes. In some areas or in some organizations, that might be a two-day class. In some organizations, it might be all training online, and then you take the test in person. And we'll talk more about how the test is actually taken in a later podcast. But the whole goal here is that you're feeling comfortable about general food safety knowledge coming into the test. Now, some people will come to me and say, oh, I've got this great understanding about food safety. I've taken this test before. I just need to recertify. Do I have to sit through the exam? You have to sit through the exam, but you may not have to sit through the training. So if you are trying to get through some of the backbone of the training part of it, but you have a good food safety knowledge background and you feel comfortable about how that looks and how that's working, then you have the opportunity to go and test only in certain jurisdictions. And again, it's only in some states where they don't require that the training be conducted. However, it is a good idea to always get refresh on the local or national updates and the current focus of the health department for that area. Because if you only are just focusing on what you've done in the past and you don't get the infusion of the updated information, you might have some challenges with the test, or you might have challenges in discussing with your local health department when the time comes. So always good idea to do renewal with a training exercise. However, we do know people who have sat down and done a renewal and they've passed just fine. So it is important to kind of keep that in mind as well. How long do the SurfSafe or the State Food Safety, National Registry, Premier, and others, how long do they last for? Is a question I often get as well. It depends on two factors. One, it depends on the testing organization. Many of them are 5 years. Some of them are 3 years. There are some that are different years than that. And it also depends on the local regulations. So for instance, you may be in a state where they only accept it for 2 or 3 years, regardless of what the certificate says. So it's completely understandable to have some confusion around that if you are in certain states that have a requirement that you have the test renewed every couple of years, but your certificate says, 5 years or something different, you might see a difference in approach there. So just know your local regulations. Your organization, again, might have that information already present for you. And so that's why it's important to just know kind of when you're going to have to renew once you have started down this road and taken your first one, pass it, of course, and then you have to renew every couple of years or how that looks. So how do you go through this process? In general, you find the organization that you want to work with, where it's told to you, if it's already given to you for certain reasons. You then decide if you're doing the testing only or if you're going to do the training with the testing and see what that looks like for that organization. Schedule yourself for that day. Make sure that you're all lined up. You've got all of your mental focuses on food safety that day walking in. We'll talk more about how you do that here in future podcasts. And you go through the training and then you take your tests. And we'll have some test strategies as well coming up through this process and through this series. But we want to kind of give everybody an idea of just kind of what and how and why this whole process started with the food safety manager certification conversation. And it's really a good opportunity for you to kind of take a look and say, where am I at with my own career? Where am I at with my own food safety knowledge? In addition to all the other things that I have to do in my day in and day out operations, where am I at with this conversation around my training and how it ties into it? Now, at the end of every single session, I'm always going to talk about food safety culture, and we'll talk more definition about this, but the food safety culture tie-in here for this particular topic is just having an overview of food safety in general around your organization, but also understanding that the respect level of what can happen when we do something wrong, or what can happen if you have a challenge that can impact others, not only your organization, but the health of others that come in as consumers, or secondary risks of that as well, and secondary levels of that as well. So it's important to understand that your training as a leader in your organization really is key to success of understanding general food safety. And it's just really an opportunity for you to grow your own skills, grow your own knowledge, and that way you can impact food safety in maybe a slightly different way than you've never done in your organization in the past, or maybe a chance to renew and update your thought processes. So it comes down to, how do you impact the food safety culture of your organization when you have this training, when you have the certification? With that being said, we will talk more about the food safety manager certification process here in future podcasts. We hope you're having a great day. Make it a safe one. We'll talk to y'all later. And now for the disclaimers. This podcast and video is for entertainment purposes first and educational purposes second. This should not be considered professional advice. The Good Food, Safe Food podcast and its guests are not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of the information of this podcast. Any views expressed in this podcast may not be those of the host or the management of C4FL or the Good Food, Safe Food podcast family. As with all things food safety, contact your local health department or regulatory jurisdiction, as they are the final say when it comes down to food safety for your operation. Good Food, Safe Food is not responsible for any misunderstandings or challenges due to these interpretations. Any specific mentions of specific entities or businesses on the podcast is not an endorsement unless otherwise said. All trademarks and business names are the rights of the individual businesses. This podcast may not be republished or rebroadcast without the consent of the management of Good Food, Safe Food podcast and or its owner, C4FL.